and refer to Hebrews chapter 10. We shall be considering that text afterwards. Our theme for this morning is the Christian priesthood, taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. Although the passage contains seven verses there, today we shall consider only three verses. Now, what is this Christian priesthood about? I googled for the Christian priesthood in the net to find a photo that will depict Christian priesthood. And this is what I find on the screen. Is this Christian priesthood? We wonder today why we do not follow many other churches, many other denominations, with regard to the setup of a hierarchy of priests and various churchy personnel in the church. But we have people dressed like you and me coming up to the front, taking part, leading, and so on. What is right? Why do not we have special robes, special titles, special status, so that we are different from the other members of the church? Today, we are going to consider the Christian priesthood as in the scriptures. The whole passage that we are going to base our study on is on Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. But for today, we shall study only three verses, Hebrews 10, 19 to 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of by the blood of Jesus. This essentially is the enablement of us, the brethren, to enter into the holiest, which constitutes, of course, the Christian priesthood. So, in the days that lie ahead, and that will stretch until next year, we shall consider the character of our high priest, Hebrews 10:21, that's for next week. Then, Hebrews 10:22, the conditions of the Christian priesthood. And finally, the commitment of priests, Hebrews 10:23-25. For the last two studies, we shall have to delay that until next year when I come again. So for this week and next week, we shall study only Hebrews 10:19-21. Right, let's go into it because I have a long study before me. And we need to really develop this very important theme of the Christian priesthood. What does the passage 10:19-20 say? Having therefore brethren, and by the word brethren is an old English word, it means, as in your NIV, brothers and sisters, it includes male and female, both brothers and sisters, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's why we need no other intercessory, human ones. By a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This will be our text for consideration this morning. Having therefore, that's how the text starts. Having therefore, in other words, it is based on arguments in the previous chapters. The writer to this book of the Hebrews has come to a conclusion. He has made many arguments before that. And when he says, therefore, it means that he has put all the arguments before this verse, and basing on all these arguments, he is now saying, this is the conclusion, and this is what we are going to do. So generally, what are those chapters, those arguments he has put forward? Chapters 1, 10 to 18, the verse before our text, we have a doctrinal assertion proving and illustrating Christian doctrine. Now, it is very important today that we know why we do what we do. Many people do a lot of things. They have got priests, they have got bishops, they have got popes and so on. Why do not we have them the same? Are they not the so-called Christian priesthood? And what is the difference between our Christian priesthood with theirs? And that's why you need to know the doctrines. You need to know the principles. And this is important, that we do not get so used to what we are doing here at Island Glades, where we see that anybody can participate, that we forget the principles for which we stand, that we do not know why we do what we do, but we just follow what has been done all the time. This is our study on why we do what we do. So chapters 1 to 10, verse 18, we have the doctrinal assertion. Then chapter 10, verse 19, our text, onwards to the end of Hebrews, we have the practical application of what has been established in doctrine. So we have first the precepts, the principles, the doctrine. And now comes the application and the challenge and the injunction. Why we must do what we should do. Now, many people do not like doctrines because they think doctrines are too academic. And they say, you know, those people who preach on the pulpit, we must be more practical. We must apply. We must be more devotional. And as a result, few Christians know the scriptures. Few Christians know the doctrines because they are only interested in how to live the Christian life. But without the basis of how to live the Christian life, why and how do we live the Christian life? So doctrines and practice are important. Principles and practice, and we must establish these two to establish our understanding of the Christian priesthood. Let us go back to chapter 10, verse 19-21, a statement of principles. Having said what I've said, now what are the principles that we should know? Firstly, the character of the Christian priesthood. This is the theme of our study this morning. The character of the Christian priesthood. And our text is, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That you and I have the right, have the boldness to enter directly into the very presence of God. Can we do that? No. We must go through some priests. We must go through some other people who are more holy than we are. Then only God can accept us. Is this what the Bible teaches? So we establish this important principle that we, you and I today, brothers and sisters, have the right to enter into God's very presence, the holiest of all. Previously, and that's where many of the other groups took their stand from, in the Old Testament, the high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies except once a year with blood. The other priests would not be allowed to go in. And therefore, you establish this important hierarchy among them. Is this true today for us? Can we not go in? The character of a high priest. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone in. But in the past, the high priest was not allowed to go in. We now have the right to go in because we have a forerunner before us, the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. He has gone in. And because he has gone in, he has paved the way open for us to follow. And that's why we go in today. So do please understand why we do what we do. Because it's very important when people argue with you why we do what we do and why they do what they do. And you have an answer, a reason for the hope that is in you. With the statement of principles that we have a right to go in, because the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest, has already gone in, then comes the practical part, the practical challenge, an enlistment to practice. Having therefore, because of these principles, boldness. Now we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood, because our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone into the holiest. We have a right now to follow, because we belong to him. The condition of a priesthood. Let us draw near. If we are not drawing near, if we are not praying to God today, if we are not entering to his presence, if we are not approaching him and praying and praising him, something's wrong with us. The Lord's work that had been done for us would all be in vain. Let us draw near. The commitment of priests, let us hold fast the profession. Let us remember this, that while we have the right and the privilege and the honor to go into the holiest holies, we need to also be aware that our profession must be consistent with our living, or our living must be consistent with our profession. That we live the kind of life we ought to live as priests, Christian priests. What they are, we shall consider later. Let us consider one another, that we are not the only ones who can go in. As the priest and the high priest and so on in other places, they are the only ones who can approach. But we, all of us, can approach. And because all of us can approach, we must consider one another. Let us consider one another, not only think of ourselves, one another. Hence, before we consider the therefore, let us consider what is before the therefore. Having therefore, this is the conclusion. This is the injunction. This is the application. But we must know again what comes before the therefore. So let us consider now what is before the therefore. Let me take you back to the very beginning. Consider the classes of priesthood so that we understand what is the Christian priesthood as different from other classes of priesthood in the Old Testament. Firstly, there's the original purpose of God. Exodus 19, 5-8. The Lord God himself had chosen the people of Israel out. But before that, he also had in mind, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. It was God's desire to choose a people unto himself. And with the choice of his people, he wanted to create also a kingdom of priests unto God. But not the condition. If you will obey. If you will obey, then these things that I promise will be yours. If you don't, I won't give you. What are the things that they must obey? The covenant. Now, Exodus 20, the first part, you have the Ten Commandments. Keep the Ten Commandments. Can you keep the Ten Commandments? There are the judgments. Certain people doing wrong, they must be judged. How are they going to be judged? Here are the ways they should be judged. Various laws are voiced out so that they are judged justly. You must also keep the ordinances. As priests, kingdom of priests, they will have to bring about certain rites and rituals. They have got to keep all these ordinances. Then and only they would be a peculiar treasure unto God, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. That's what God promised. Keep my commandment. If you will obey, then you will be to me a peculiar treasure, a kingdom of priests, holy nation. They failed. Soon after the giving of the Ten Commandments, Aaron led the people out in worshipping the golden calf. You know the story. They failed so soon after that. And I'd like you to note, please, because they had disobeyed, God had to put them aside. And God, later on, many thousands of years later, set up what he originally wanted to do, a kingdom of priests. And that's why we find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you are, talking all of us who are Christians now, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, without condition, the Lord God said, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a kingdom of priests. You are a holy nation. All that God had planned for the first people in originally, which had been disannulled because they disobeyed, now God established this one. But what about obedience? Remember, this Christian priesthood in 1 Peter 2:9 was established upon the obedience of the high priest. The high priest obeyed. And because the high priest obeyed, we now reap the benefits of his obedience. With Moses, it was conditions before status. You fulfill the conditions first before you become priests. Christian priesthood, Christ has fulfilled all the conditions. He has obeyed. And because of that, you are kingdom of priests. This is the Christian priesthood, not dependent upon what we do, but upon what Christ did for us. And that's why we have boldness to enter into the holiest. Consider also the other priesthood after the original purpose of God. There is the national priesthood, which we have already discussed. And we find that in Isaiah 61 verses, how God one day, will fulfill that purpose with his people, with these people. These people who disobeyed him. But one day, God will still fulfill his purpose. And Isaiah 61 verse 6, we find that one day, when the millennium is set up, God will set up that kingdom of priests, as he promised in Isaiah 61 verse 6. After the failure of that group, we have the Levitical priesthood. Then God chose out certain people of the 12 tribes, the Levites, to be priests. And we find that Aaron was made the chief priest, the high priest, and his four sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, they were all made priests. And all the other Levites, members of the Levite tribe, were incorporated in as people who would help out in the priestly ministry. That you'll find that in Exodus 28, verse 1. So we have all these priests, the Levites. And they have, in a certain way, their uniforms. They have got a priestly robe and so on. And today, perhaps, we find that in many of these groups, follow that. Because they have got priests, they have got high priests, and they have got robes and uniforms. But remember this. The Levitical priesthood has also failed. Because it has an inferior founder. The high priest was not perfect. Aaron, the high priest. The high priest could not go into the Holy of Holies every time he liked. Only once a year and with blood. The high priest, that the other priest, who are ministering in the holy place, could not sit down. They could never finish their work. There was no chair in the holy place. But the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Inferior founder. Imperfect foundation based on the law. Not that the law is not perfect, but what is based on it is not perfect. And therefore, that has to be put aside. In Hebrews chapter 7, 11, 12, 16, 18, 19, you can read all about that. That we, the Levitical priesthood is not perfect. With that inadequate features, the blood of bulls cannot cleanse away sins completely once and for all. The sacrifices and offerings have to be repeated again and again. Every time a person sins, it must be repeated. And so we find that has to be put aside. Then comes the next priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood. That one is set above all other priesthoods. It is a priesthood of its own unique nature and features. And the Christian priesthood is taken after this order, the order of the Melchizedek priesthood. What is this? We shall consider at a later date when we consider the character of Christ. Now, let us realize this so-called strange teaching in a way. In Hebrews, we are told that the Melchizedek priesthood was based upon King Melchizedek, who was met by Abraham one day after a battle. And Abraham came and paid tithes to Melchizedek. And it says there, when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, therefore admitting his inferiority, actually it was also the Levites in Abraham paying tribute to Melchizedek, showing that the Levite ministry or priestly ministry were inferior to the Melchizedek, because Levi was praying, offering tithes, paying tithes to Melchizedek through Abraham. That while Levi was still in the stomach of Abraham, so to speak, he paid tithes. That was a teaching, not my invention. So you find that Melchizedek order was above all other priesthoods. And the Christian priesthood takes after the order of the Melchizedek priesthood, as we shall see later. All right, the obedience of the high priest. The priesthoods, their acceptability depends upon the high priest. The high priest is able to conduct the priestly ministry well, then he and all the others will be accepted. So we must consider our high priest. Hebrews 10, 5 to 10. If you have a chance, have a quick glance over it. Hebrews 10, 5 to 10. The organs of obedience. What do I mean? We read that the Lord God said, sacrifices and offerings I would not have. Because they had to be repeated. They are not permanent. They are not eternal. I would not have. Then when God the Father expressed this so-called sadness on his part, the Son said in Hebrews chapter 10, I think verse 7, sacrifices and offerings thou would not have, but the Lord prepared me a body, to order that I might come to obey and to please the Lord. And so we read, a body was prepared in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. The Father prepared a body for the Son, that the Son could come to bear the sins of the world upon himself on the cross. A body was prepared. Without a body, he as a spirit could not suffer. But as a body, he would be able to take the behalf of all other people who have bodies to die for them. But strange, that verse, chapter 10, verse 5 in Hebrews, is taken from an Old Testament verse, from Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. You can look at them. Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 to 8. And the verse is a bit different. While the writer to the Hebrews quoted from Psalm, yet he changed certain things. What was in the Psalm? Psalm 40 verses. Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not desire. Same as Hebrews chapter 10 verse 5. Mine ears hast thou opened. Instead of a body hast thou prepared me. Mine ears hast thou opened. In the New Testament, a body hast thou prepared me. You see the difference? But same quotation. Same quotation. Psalm chapter 40 verses 6 and 8. Now, of course, when it says, mine ears has thou opened. What does that mean? If we look at Exodus 21, 1 to 6, we know that when a slave refused to leave his master while he loved the master so much, when it was time for him to leave after 7 years, he would not want to leave the master. He wanted to stay behind. He wanted voluntarily to stay behind with the master. Then the master would take his ear and nail it to the doorpost to show that he voluntarily wanted to stay with the master. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, a body was prepared for him, ears open, voluntarily he said, I come to do thy will, O God. And so the Lord Jesus came in order to be our high priest. The outcome of that obedience, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, the original priesthood, the national priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. He take away the first that he may establish the second, the Christian priesthood, by the which will we are sent, by the which will we are sanctified as priests. All of us are sanctified as priests through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. No more repetition. This is what the Lord has done for you and for me. The establishment of the Christian priesthood in Hebrews 10 verse 9. The endowment of Christians as priests. Because what Jesus Christ has done for us, we all now are a kingdom of priests and holy priesthood. That's what we are. Right. Now we come on to the constitution of the Christian priesthood. Having established how and why we became priests, what is the constitution of our Christian priesthood? Having therefore brethren. Brethren here does not limit to only the brothers. It's brothers and sisters, as you read in your NIV. Who are priests then? Note please the silence regarding special priesthood or a special class of priests. There is no such thing in Scripture of a special group of people apart from the kingdom of priests of which all of us are that will play a role on behalf of the other members. There's not a single verse in Scripture to allow that. The silence. The word priest is used of a priest or the pagan god, Acts 14:13. Jewish priests, believers, Christ himself is a priest, Melchizedek. But there is no reference at all to one special class of priests in the kingdom of priesthood. None. For them to act on behalf of the other members in the priesthood. There is no special class of priests among believers. All are priests. Young men, seniors, young women, grandmothers, all are priests before God. All have the right to access the holiest. So, no special class, which is not right at all. Not only the silence, but we see the absence of a special priesthood in Scripture. There are various personnel described for us in Scripture, in the church. But there's no mention in the list of special gifts to the church. For example, it is stated that to the church are given certain gifts. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, And the name pastors and teachers are not a special title given to a special group of people. They just describe elders, pastors and teachers, pastors, elders who are teachers, or even bishops, as you find in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And all are built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And that's why we do not reckon that apostles and prophets are still present, because apostles and prophets were there at their early church days, the foundation of the church. Today, after the church has been fully founded, there is no need for elders, apostles and prophets. So we are left with evangelists and teaching pastors. No mention in the list of personages connected with the Church of God. We have got elders, quite a list of qualifications. We have got bishops. Bishops is not a special title, but the name means an overseer, a superintendent. Same as elders. Overseers, deacons, ministers. We have got a list of qualifications for them. But they are not special people to act on behalf of others. But there's no mention of priests. No priests there. The presence of the Christian priesthood in Scripture. Who are constituted priests? Who then are priests? Let us confirm what I have said so far. In Peter's epistle, where you have got, you are a special people. You are a peculiar people. You are a holy priesthood. You are a kingdom of priests. In that passage, in 1 Peter chapter 2, to read the context, we find that it has reference to, one, those born again. So those born again are priests. The reference to the babes in Christ, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Those who believe in Jesus Christ, chapter 2, verse 7. Those who belong to God. At one time you were not my people, now you are my people. And in the book of Revelation, the priests were those people who had been loosed from their sins by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been redeemed by his precious blood. Now, these qualify to be priests. These are the people who constitute to be priests. Not by a special seminary degree. Not by a special process of ordination. Not by anything else. These are the people. If you are born again, you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a priest. Man or woman, you have free access into the presence of God. Know that. Do not let anyone take it away from you or deprive you of it. So all who are believers in Christ are constituted priests. All who are brethren of Christ are constituted priests. Having therefore brethren, we have access into the holiest. Brethren here is an old English word which means brothers and sisters. In other words, it has reference to those who are saved, Hebrews 2:10. Those who are sanctified, 2:11. Now, to be sanctified means to be consecrated as priest. The Lord Jesus Christ said that he is not ashamed to call all those who are his brethren. Because he that sanctifies is the same as they that are sanctified, Hebrews 2:11. We are made priests. Not only priests, sanctified gives you the idea of being saints. Those who are in the church and brethren in the midst of the church, 2:12. Those by church, I do not mean this building. Church is the church ecclesia, the church of the Lord, where every member who believes in Jesus Christ belongs to, not a special church on earth. Those who are called, they are partakers of the heavenly calling. So you find that all these are constituted priests before the Lord. Now, after having considered the constitution, the confidence of the Christian, All right. You and I are priests. We are priests. What are we supposed to do? We have confidence. Having, therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all. But, you know, some are still not afraid. They're not. That's why they keep their mouth shut. Why are you keeping your mouth shut? Open up your mouth. Praise the Lord. Speak to the Lord. How many of you perhaps have been in the Island Grace Corps Center for years and years and never opened up your mouth? Have this confidence. Speak to him. Boldness. What is boldness? It is the Greek word parousia, from past, all, resist, speech. Therefore, it means all speech. The absence of fear in speaking boldly, hence confidence, cheerful, and courage. This should be your attitude towards the Lord as you come to the meeting, as you come into the presence of God, as you pray. Thus, we enter with open lips to confess our sins, because we need to get our sins dealt with first before he hears us, and the all supremacy of our Lord. This is the privilege that we have, the confidence that we have. All right. This confidence is objective. Having, therefore, boldness. It is based on the arguments before, that is, all those chapters before this verse. And those chapters speak of the obedience of Christ. Based on the blood of Christ, Hebrews 9:14, a better covenant, all these words are quoted directly from the scriptures, Hebrews 8:6, a better priesthood, Hebrews 7:24, 25, better promises, Hebrews 6:9, 18, a better person, that's Christ himself, chapters 1 to 4, and Christ is better than Aaron, Levitical priesthood, Joshua, Moses, the angels, chapters 1 to 3. You read all of that in the arguments. Christ is above all. He is the excellent one. No one can compare with him. He is incomparable, and he is our high priest. He has gone into the holiest. We have confidence. We will follow him. Christ is one perfect sacrifice. He has offered himself once and for all, never to be repeated. This is why we are not afraid. We fear not. We have confidence. Christ is our high priest, entered into the holiest of all. The boldness is not only objective, it is also positive. That it might purge your conscience, Hebrews 9:14. It is not based on feelings. This boldness that we have, it's not based on feelings. Oh, today I feel not right. The role of conscience. Your conscience speaks to you. Today something is wrong with you. Do not let your conscience speak to you. Conscience is good. The role of conscience is good. But sometimes the role of conscience can be mistaken. It is not based upon the full faith in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can never be changed. Your feelings can be changed, but not the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not based on failures from dead works, that, oh, you have failed and you have done badly in your Christian life, and therefore I cannot enter into God's presence anymore. I must go to a priest, I must confess. No, it does not say that. Your right to enter into God's presence is still based upon the high priest who is there. Three sorts of works are found in the New Testament. Wicked works, I did not develop that. Good works, we are not saved by good works. And dead works. What are dead works? Dead works are sometimes the work that you want to do for God, but somehow you don't do. And that's what Paul experienced. Paul said, those things which I want to do, I do not do. Those things which I do not want to do, I do. Oh, miserable man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of sin? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. When you have these kind of feelings, dear brothers and sisters, when you are afraid to approach God, when you are afraid to go into the presence of God, know this. The Lord Jesus Christ, the high priest, has gone ahead for you. It is based on faith. faith in the entrance of the Lord into the Holy of Holies. He has gone in. He is our forerunner. Hebrews 6, 19-20. He is there for us. That's why he is there, to speak on our behalf. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. He is our fulfillment. He fulfills all that we need for us to be there. In the efficacy of the blood, which is the propitiation for sin, he has shed his blood once and for all, and that's enough. No more to be repeated. Which is the provision for service. And if you have sinned, thou shalt confess thy sin, then it will be forgiven you. So, brothers and sisters, always make a point to be rightly related with the Lord. No matter what your condition, if you have sinned, confess your sin, he will forgive you. And if you want to go for higher levels of experience with him, speak to him, talk to him directly, you have no need to go through any other person. Which is the promise of salvation and sanctification. Chapter 9, verse 15. Right, the consecration of the church Christian priesthood. Hebrews 10:19. Now, while we have put aside the Levitical priesthood, the Levitical priesthood is a picture of what the Christian priesthood should not be, or should be, but did not come to be. And that's why, in a way, the Levitical priesthood is important, because it gives us a picture of what it should be. The structure of tabernacle, look at it. It says in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, and it is the Lord's word, not mine. Hebrews 8, verse 5. There are three compartments in the tabernacle. One, the holy place, the outer court. Then you have, that's the outer court, sorry. The outer court will represent Calvary, the place where Jesus Christ died. For here at the altar, the sacrifice was made. Then it refers also to a second compartment, the holy place. The holy place is here. That will be the heavens. And finally, you have the Holy of Holies. That's where the presence of God is, the Ark of the Covenant. What does it mean? As the offerer, or as the offerer, goes to the altar court with a sacrifice, it is us, it is the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing his offering to the cross where he died. Then he will go to the holy place. The holy place, now it's all stated by the scripture, not me, I didn't invent that. The holy place would be the heavens. Now, we believe there are three heavens. The first heaven is what we see in the sky. The second heaven is where the angels are. And the third heaven is where Christ, God is. And control the heavens, the holy places. And then right into the holiest of all, that's where God is, the third heaven, where Paul was taken up one day. And so you see, the Lord Jesus Christ has gone in to the heavens. And having gone in with the blood, his blood, to purge our sins, he sat down on the right hand of his majesty on high. What a wonderful high priest. Right, the structure of the tabernacle. Look at another aspect, the doors, the entrances. There are three compartments in that typical teaching. We have got three curtains. To enter the tabernacle, there are three curtains. One, we have got the veils, the gate of the outer court. This is the gate of the outer court. We have the door of the tent. This is the door of the tent. And we have the veil. This is the veil. I'd like you to note, please. Firstly, right? Firstly, note the gate of the outer court. Note the dimensions. Note the dimensions. 20 cubits wide, 5 cubits high. 1 cubit is about 18 inches. The door of the tent is 10 by 10. 10 by 10. The veil also 10 by 10. What does it mean? Emphasis of the outer gate is its width. All the three are 100 square cubits. 10 by 10, 20 by 5. Same. Emphasis here is on the width. 20 by 5. Wide is a gate. All are welcome to enter into the court for salvation. But many people remain here. They don't go in. The holy place is where you serve as priests. As priests, many of us are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved, but we don't exercise our function as priests. We don't go into the holy place to serve. The holy place is 10 by 10. The entrance is narrower. Many people go through the outer gate. Why? They stay there in the outer court. They never go in into the holy place because it's narrower. 10. And once we go inside there, then we can, as priests, we can approach into the direct presence of God himself in the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant is. You see that? Now, this is the teaching of Hebrews. I do not invent it. It's there. All right. Finally, take the standing of the veil. The third one, before we enter the Holy of Holies, there is still another barrier, the veil. The veil prevented God's presence, kept God's presence inside so that nobody could go near, and it kept God's people out. And that's why the high priest could not go in except once a year with blood. But now we have a new and living way. That's our text. Having boldness now to enter by a new and living way. New and living. Living, new, because it's in contrast to the old. Living, it is in contrast to the dead sacrifices that were offered. We have a new and living way. We can now enter. This is a Christian priesthood. Way, of course, is through the veil. Now, please, it says there in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, having therefore boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. In other words, the veil, which is the way, now open, because it was rendered when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. He cried out, "It is finished." When the cry was made, "It is finished," in a miraculous way, the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, signifying that the way of access into God's presence is now made open. This is Christian priesthood. Don't let anybody bar you in. The significance of the rent veil, an uncrucified Savior is no Savior. The veil is now open. Do not allow another person to raise the veil for you. The removal of distance. The Jews worship afar off, Exodus 24. The Gentiles were afar off. But the veil now having been rented, the church is now made near. And Christians are to draw near. Under the law, contrast under Christ. Under the law, the distance between man and God under Christ is removed. We have a new way. Beware of false worship. False worship is the false teaching that goes on, telling you about all these things, that you must approach certain men to be priests in order to approach God. That is not right. That is false doctrine. Beware of figurative worship. Do not copy those in the Old Testament. We are no more in the Old Testament. The Levitical law, the Levitical priesthood has been set aside. We are now having the Christian priesthood. We need is faithful worship. We need to be faithful. That when we worship God, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Distance between Jew and Gentile is now removed. No more. Hence, no clergy, no clerisy. We do not want to have a class of priests in our midst. That's wrong. Absolutely wrong. For a group of people to claim that. Well, you know what this is about. I need not have to tell you that some people who came to preach, they do more sin than ever to children. Hence, no clerisy, no clergy, no class of priests. The removal of demarcation, we have now a new and living way where approach can be made at all times, anytime, 416, where access is granted to all priests, everyone. I'm not talking of access in the church order, you know, but access to God anywhere and everywhere. Made such by the blood of Christ, made such by the new birth, where acceptance is because of the once and for all sacrifice. That's all that we need, the once and for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Beware of the barrier of ritualism in hierarchy, where you come, you must observe certain rites and rituals. That is not found in the Bible. Where there are riches in society, where people who are rich have special privileges, where people who have titles, who have got degrees, have a special group of people. We do not have this. All have to go to the cross, and in at the cross, all are thrown down. Religiousness in piety, not because you are more holy, because we are based and founded upon the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, not on our holiness, none. Racism in a community, we should have no racism at all. No Chinese, no Indians, no Malays. Everyone is welcome in the Lord. All Gentiles are no more strangers. All are one in the Lord. Rights raised in Christian ministry, various rules that have come up to approach the priest before we go to see God, all these are not scriptural. Not scriptural. Finally, and I end here, when Christ's work was finished, it is finished. He cried out, "It is finished." And immediately, miraculously, in the temple, the veil was rent. The holy place and the holiest were united together and made into one sanctuary that we now all can enter. The worship and service go together. We now worship and we work the holy place and the Holy of Holies, holy place where service is done, Holy of Holies where God is, where we worship. Both worship and work are put together, and that's why it says, "Come, therefore, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What God has put down, let no man put up. What God has put down, let no man put up." This is Christian priesthood. Learn it and it will be nice. With that, we finish. So next week, I shall be talking on the character of our high priest. In 2020, next year, God willing, I talk on the conditions of the Christian priesthood and the commitment of priests. And with that, next Lord's Day, I'll see you, Lord willing, on the character of high priest. If it's too fast for you, you want the references especially, please go to my website when you are free and then get all the notes there. All everything is there. Thank you. The Lord bless you.